We were the closest.
Man. When I read that, I was like, I have to play this off. I have to pretend like...
Lit Sean is here.
What that felt like was what it must be like to be the news reporter who receives the nukes are in the air announcement.
Right.
It's like, so, you have to process it, and it's at the same time figure out how to say it or how to not say it.
Exactly. You could just, like, brush it under the table and just say, hey, look, puppies.
Hello, humans, and hey. Welcome to Audio Phase. This is episode 24. I am Dan.
I am Sean.
And this is a podcast about music news, music culture, everything in music this week that is worth talking about. From Syndicate 23. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing well. I'm out here repping the LBC, chilling. It's actually cold and fall instead of being 118 degrees, which is nice.
Yep, and that's really good. I'm glad. It's also cooler up in Northern California where I am, up in Freeze Peach Studios. Hopefully, so I understand there's been some static, there's been some bird noises, trying some new different things with recording. Hopefully it should be a little better sounding. I really can't tell that until I actually export the thing. So, we'll see. I could just be an asshole saying, oh, guess what? The sound's better and it's three times worse. Well, that's how we roll. Gotta keep it real.
That would be really funny, and I'm kind of down for you to be like, brrr, like that one time Bam and I went to comedy night, and they said, feminism, brrr, just mic just cut out, and I don't think I laughed harder in my life just looking at Bam fall over his chair. I almost peed myself laughing. Brrr. That was brilliant.
Oh my god.
Bam, from the We Made It podcast, the soccer podcast, the best soccer podcast out there, English speaking, where they talk about the football soccer world for all you folks that love it. It is, you know, into that meat and potatoes.
Of league they talk games. About they talk about topics people aren't talking about, and so
no, it's actually really dope. I love it.
Yeah. So the last episode, really fast. They were talking about sexual abuse scandals and youth academies, these soccer academies in England that were going on. And like, a great point was made in the podcast. Like, how can you be a fan of a sport and then just like turn the other way when things like this are happening? So they're talking about that, but then also just talking about the games. They're talking about the plays. They're talking about Caesar's worship of all the players that he loves and will defend to the death for whatever reason. But definitely check out the We Made It podcast. WeMadeIt.syndicate23.co, available anywhere you get podcasts, including where you're listening to this right now. But today, it's going to be a really fun show.
We have four great
reviews. Kygo, a collaboration with 21 Savage, Metro Boomin, and Offset. Sean's got opinions on that. Sam Smith's new album, The Thrill of It All. Sean's got more opinions on that. And Maroon 5's new album, Red Pill Blues. The Incels have opinions on that. Anyways, let's start with new singles of the week. Favorite new singles of the week. We actually have these. We usually skip this.
Finally, about them time.
We're doing it. But like, really, this is such a music-heavy podcast episode too. Like, sometimes, you know, not much comes out. We're kind of talking about the news, the industry, but this is just a lot of music. So we had to talk about singles. First, Young Nerd featuring like never aging, like Deal with the Devil, Death Motherfucker, Pharrell Williams. As he's officially known. His original band, Nerd, No One Ever Really Dies, is making a comeback, and they did a single that they released called Lemon, featuring Rihanna, and it goes hard. It's really good.
It's I like it too. You told me, like, Nerd's going back. I'm like, wait, Pharrell still hasn't died yet? Is he, like, 22 or 48? Like, how old is he? Freaking robot over here.
Gee. So, actually, I have a minor funny story about Pharrell's age. Who doesn't, right?
That could turn really fast, but I'll let you go. Let's see.
I mean, in this industry, right? But I mean, hashtag no politics.
Handbrake.
Anyways, so I actually tried to Google like how old is Pharrell Williams? Because it's ridiculous. Everyone is really old, and so Google actually told me with its little knowledge graph answer, some answer like 76 or something, and I know that's definitely not right. And he's 44, allegedly, or something in, like, the mid-40s, right? But, like, he still looks 23 or something, right? Like, 25. It looks like he started Nerd yesterday.
Right?
Yeah. It's amazing. But Never mind Pharrell Williams and his exfoliation techniques. The music is very good. It's just like a nice, like, it's got kind of an old school vibe with like how its instrumentation is laid out, but it's still just like, it's fresh. It's, again, we've said it time and time again, it's what we want to see from music. Be fresh, be new, incorporate what's good, incorporate what people like.
Incorporate something new, do something wild. Yeah, I like it a lot. When you told me about it, I was kind of skeptical at first. I go, I don't know. And now I'm pretty happy with it. So, yeah, it's dope.
And, of course, Rihanna, just, like, it has to be said, like, absolutely did wonderful job in, like, the lyrics and everything she did. Like, she really stands out on the album. But, like, if this is what, I mean, we know it's the audio face rule. It's hard to judge off a first single, and I'm probably not going to listen to anything else until I see an album.
Always. But
again, this is a good first step forward. And if the album's good, then I'm going to have to say this is a good first step. I hope they continue in this way, because there have been a lot of bands who have been around for a while and not really missed, like, they've really missed the mark lately. We've talked about it in a lot of episodes, and we'll be talking about that a little bit later. We'll figure out which band that is, right?
Oof. Yep. Got opinions. I got secrets.
I got opinions. I got takes.
I got takes. Let's see. And then Gorillaz.
Yes, Gorillaz. Humor me. So this is also a great episode because we're getting a tiny little bit of Gorillaz in here and a tiny little bit of Radiohead in here. We're having fun. Sean and I are having a blast. This is
fuck it. Why not?
This makes Saturdays really fun. This is really great. So Gorillaz, they released a single, Garage Palace. It's to kind of promote... it's a lot of things. It's to promote the fact they're touring in Europe right now. They just finished their U.S. tour. I talked about that. Sean and I talked about that in a couple episodes past about kind of how that was. Amazing is what it was. And Garage Palace has been performed on, like, since they started touring for Humans, but it'd only been performed live. And Garage Palace is this, it's, like, really fast-paced song that was produced, I forget, like, the name of who produced, Little Sims, right? Yeah, and it's, the visuals that were released with it remind you of, like, this 8-bit video game with, like, boss battles, like, classic Super Nintendo Game Boy Advance shit. It's just, like, really awesome, really cool for the Gorillaz style, and, yeah, it's just got that grime sort of sound, and it's so fast-paced, and it's, like, a fan favorite. Tammy, friend of the podcast, she has been bothering me about wondering when the song's actually going to come out in recorded form, because you'd only really seen it live, but now it's here, you can listen to it. I think it's phenomenal. Sean, what are your thoughts?
No, it's cool. I like it. I like totally glanced by it the other day. I go, oh, I should probably listen to that. I thought it was like some weird promotional thingy or something. I didn't realize it was a single at first, just because the way Gorillaz has been lately. I go, okay, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's like a picture.
Yeah.
Like,
check out Gorillaz gonna drop the hottest Instagram post of 2017 tonight.
Right.
Surprise album drop.
Right, exactly. I'm like, I don't know. So, but it was dope. I like it. It's cool. They still make good stuff. It's just you have kind of have to search for it now. But, you know.
Yeah.
I like it.
I also like how they're still sticking true to having like bringing like digging into the newest or like up and coming kind of music and really elevating that. And oh no, siren.
Oh no, siren.
You know what's funny? It's still not actually, it's, at least on my end, it's not picking up on the mic.
Well, on my end, it's about 500 miles away. Well,
yeah, because isn't, like, edited at all.
Yeah, because it's coming through my headphones.
Yeah, nice little, like, misstep into audio inside baseball, but nevertheless, I like how Gorillaz always incorporates what's new in music, like, what's up and coming, whenever they're out there. And they like to promote, like, these up-and-coming artists. These artists you, like, originally would never think about from different genres. And, like, that's their shtick. They pull in all of these different genres and influences together and then turn it into, like, pop.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good here, especially because grime is really kind of getting a footing. I definitely see it, like, being a big part of the future of rap. I mean, if 21 Savage can be, like, if... I'm going to save my opinions, but like if trap has a place in rap, which I honestly do think it does, then definitely grime has its place too. And I think it's definitely going to have this like mainstream broadening appeal more and more as we see in the future. And I like that shit. And also just like another miscellaneous Gorillaz thing, also relating to the art. Jamie Hewlett's dropping a book. So the artist for Gorillaz, he's releasing this art book.
Speaking of pictures.
Yes, speaking of dropping dope pictures, you can buy this book. I think it's on sale in Europe in November and in the United States in December. And it has 400 works of Jamie Hewlett's. Many of those works will be Gorillaz, but of course Jamie Hewlett's not just the Gorillaz artist.
Right.
He has also done work. He had a like popular comic, Tank Girl. He's done other projects with Damon Albarn as well, including that Monkey Journey to the West, that play.
Yeah.
Any different like little art he's done is on his own, but like he's a really like distinct artist with a really cool kind of gonzo style. And of course, if you like have seen Gorillaz art ever, it's very clear. There's lots of hidden treasures and like vivid colors and cool. I don't know. I might actually buy it. It's just a really nice art book.
I'm getting into art lately. It's different.
I'm cultured.
You're culturing now. Okay.
How many pieces of art do you have? Art.
I was gonna say something. I'm not going to.
Someone please raise my taxes.
Someone please raise my taxes. Put that on a shirt. Put that on a shirt and send it to me. I'm down.
If Paul Ryan wears that, I will. That's a negotiating tactic you can use. I will definitely move in a negotiation if we can make it so Paul Ryan can wear a shirt that says, please raise my taxes.
I'm down. I'm with it.
Hashtag no politics.
Hashtag no politics.
Let's get into Kygo's new album, Kids in Love.
Yes, sir.
We don't talk about electronic music as much as I would like. I mean, like, we've mentioned the proportion of, like, how well it sells, per se, but it's definitely a big part of music culture, as it seems like, to much to Sean's dismay, every genre seems to want to take a little bit of the energy from electronic music
and incorporate it into theirs. I got takes later in the show, not right now.
Yeah,
this
for good. Better or for worse. For better or for worse. And so Kygo, another electronic artist, but definitely one of the more different ones. He's used to be kind of more traditional, then made this pivot into more tropical house.
More house style, really chill, easy stuff, like nothing wild. And that's my favorite style of VDM. It's really good. I like the album. I didn't know going into it because I forgot that he changed styles. So I thought going into it, I go, this is going to be one of those hypey-typey bullshit. Where's the drop? Right. Where's the corny drop? But I listened to it, I go, this is actually really cool. Like, the opening track is Never Let You Go. It's super chill, you know, easy, nothing too wild. You know, that style. That's just, which is my favorite style of electronic music. And so I like it.
Yeah.
Damn good album. Like, really easy to listen to. Kind of similar to Tokyo Monster, you know, where it's that style of relaxed EDM. Like, nothing crazy. Just good stuff.
Yeah. Electronic music that's not going to, like, bring your anxiety to high levels.
You're not putting a screwdriver in your ear and twisting it, you know? Got takes, told you. It's Hot Take Island.
But enough about Skrillex.
I need to do an episode on the evolution of dubstep from when it was chill garage stuff to Skrillex putting in 18 screwdrivers in your head trying to do a screwdriver lobotomy in your brain. Like, what the hell?
Add that to the future episodes part of the doc while I make
I'm going to do that.
Absolutely do that. So, Kids in Love, the name of the album, if I didn't mention that already, I wasn't sure. we really got in because there's like a lot to talk about. I'm super excited. If I haven't made that clear already, you know who all else right. repeats things a lot? Bam, on the We Made It podcast. Hashtag 25. 21. All right. I am fired up today.
If you can't what know. The hell?
I promise. No, and this isn't like any stimulant kind of thing, right? This is me being really chill. I'm just really excited. But as I was saying, with Kids in Love, yeah, you're right. It's not. No, the point I was trying to make was that there's a time and place you can have where I like the really like hyped up electronic music, and it's fun in festivals and those situations. And like I like that, perhaps, probably like definitely way more than you do. Like I have that appreciation.
Oh yeah.
I guess. But that being said, like, it does get a lot after a while, and it does get just, like, really repetitive, and it's recycling a lot of the same beats, recycling a lot of the same patterns, and it, like, it's a shtick you can only do so well, and only works really if you're, like, in concert. But if you're regularly listening, I mean, of course, everyone has, like, my girlfriend loves listening to all these sets, and it doesn't bother her at all. She loves it, but...
I know people that do that. So, like, a couple of my friends in school do that, where that's pretty much all they listen to. But, I mean, it works for them. It's just, for me, it's really corny. But
for me, it can get to be a lot after a while, and I start having, like, really, like, a need for variety. But Kaigo, to get back to that, really provides that. Because, in addition to being, like, a little, like, I guess calmer in that sense, it's not, like, very, like, fast-paced. Feels like it blurs the lines between in structure. It's not very much like build up, drop, so much as it's just traditional how a pop song would work, where it's like verse, bridge, chorus.
Yeah.
It's
structured, yeah. Very structured and easy. That's what I mean about it's easy to listen to, as in it's nothing wild, it's nothing crazy, but it, you know, it's solid.
Yeah, and to be fair, the two things I just described, like, a traditional, like, pop music, like, kind of structure versus the traditional, like, festival EDM structure, they're very much connected and similar, but obviously they produce different results. I want to make that kind of clear, I understand that, but, again, like, Kaigo does in a way that is unique. It still sounds like that style that he's cultivating, where it is tropical, it's calmer, but it's still, like, soothing, it's still something that you could just, like, kind of, like, nod your head to and just, like, relax and be, like, chill. Like, listen to it in your car when, like, traffic isn't that bad and you're, like, kind of chill. Like, the wind's in your hair or whatever, right? Yeah. It's a good album for that kind of vibe, and I'm, like, appreciative that there's something like that that kind of stands out from the clutter of, like, whatever shitty collaboration the Chainsmokers are doing or whatever, like, really hard style, like, shit that's just the same remix of, like, some Skrillex song all over again.
Oh,
or like reusing like
really
dead
rough
mass stuff. Just, I love these shows, but I also hate these shows. And I have a related point with the next album review. That's pretty much all I have. Any last thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, it's just chill, simple, easy. That's it.
Good. Yeah, solid. Eight songs on the album, so definitely not too long. It's like 30 minutes in total, so it's a quick listen as well.
Yeah.
I said it's really soothing. I definitely would recommend it in some way. Arbitrary score. Let's go with a letter grading system. I'm feeling letter grades today.
Solid. Like a B minus. It's kind of like thinking C plus B minus. You know, nothing wild, good, easy. Yeah, I like it.
Nice and easy. What I expected. It's not like old yet. I still see like an evolution in the sound. It's
right.
What I want. It's really nice. Each song has like a collaboration, and even though I would usually complain about being collaboration heavy, I guess with the genre of electronic music, A, it's just collaboration heavy kind of by definition, and B, like, vocals just sort of blend in together with me. It's a lot more of a genre that's based towards instrumentation, at least the way I consume it. I don't know if I'm different. Tell me if I'm like different.
No, that's pretty much, spot on to me.
The differences in, like, vocalists really didn't bother me that much.
No. There wasn't too many changes, like, throughout the album. Like, it kept the same mood. So
That's a great way of putting it. Like, the mood wasn't changed. And I think that's how you can incorporate artists. And again, like, I will say the genre of electronic music gets a bit more of a pass in doing this just by the way, the genre sort of is. It's just like that. A lot of overlap, a lot of using each other's work, a lot of inherent collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. So, it's good. Like, I'd recommend it. Be like, watch it. Watch it. Listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Watch it with your ears. Audio face. I think I might have come up with our new title.
All right, I'm kind of down.
Watch it with your ears.
Watch it with your ears, everybody. Just do that.
when we make our pivot to video, that's when we'll
all right.
All right, so next up, I just wanted to bring up another story that's kind of a continuation from last week that I didn't even want to talk about, but here goes. Here's the thing. When we talked about Greg Gutfeld,
fucking
last week, I really wanted to be the end of it because the jokes weren't funny. The jokes were really lame. It's just really obvious that he's just trying to do this obvious, like, ploy. But, like, I feel the urge, like, I feel the need, honestly, here's my Dan from the Internet hat a little bit, to teach people a little bit of media literacy. So I need to point out when these things are happening. So the next time someone tells me or tells anyone in the audience, like, oh, well, this was on Greg Gutfeld. Or, who is Greg Gutfeld? Y'all need context, all right? So, yes. Greg Gutfeld, or as I just like to say, like, noted and repeated sexual predator Greg Gutfeld, continues to use a bad joke and desperate cry for attention. So even after all of that, like, even all of stuff from last week of Radiohead's just Coldplay or whatever. Poor man's Coldplay, poor man's Air Supply. He used the poor man's skit like so many different times. And like when you, I don't even know why I'm doing this because I don't even know why I'm giving Gutfeld clicks, but you actually need to watch this whole like video to see how awkward it all actually kind of is that they're still talking about it. And then, like, how no one's really laughing. And then there's one guy in the audience who's, like, literally just, like, who's sitting on the panel. He's just, like, you're so dumb. Do you even know what you're talking about?
Seriously,
he's saying it in just the most subtle way. But it's going over Greg Gutfeld's, like, face. And he just has these, like, dumb-ass jokes. This, like, lame, shitty dad humor. But, like, the main point is he's not fucking funny at all. And he's just, obviously, he did this one skit where he called it Radiohead lice, and the idea was you listen to Radiohead and you got lice in your hair. So this was this like it's the spray that stops the wailing of Tom York from getting in your hair. Like it's like high school bullshit. It's like public access shit. Like really,
seriously, like, you need to get a life in that way, you know? It's like, it's really kind of sad. Like,
this is really a waste of that, like, Fox News Saudi Arabia blood money. Like, you're really not getting a lot of humor for value around here.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I can't at all. Oh, God, I was about to ruin the whole podcast.
Oh, you know what, Sean? I'll do it for you, because I just want to, like, keep in mind that Greg Gutfeld is this asshole. So I have a clip from that I'm going to insert in the podcast and play right now, where Greg Gutfeld's talking and like talking on a panel where for some reason they give this like dumb shit with a mouth a show, because I guess at Fox News a lot of people can't put words together, so whoever can like be a white man in a suit and like keep their sexual assault count to a minimum, I guess, gets to be on camera at Fox now these days. But nevertheless, this guy apparently barely meets that quota, because right like on camera, when someone's making a serious point, here is what Greg Gutfeld replies with. Hold on, here's the thing.
Oh, you dressmaker. I mean,
and give him a raise. That's what I'm saying.
You are giving America.
That's what I'm saying.
A raise.
Oh my God.
That's rough.
Live Jesus on Christ. TV.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, how many allegations does this guy have against him?
Seriously.
I mean, like, I'm sorry to have to lie into this guy. I'm sorry to have to spend time on a music podcast talking about how much of an asshole this guy is. I'm not even offended that he's making fun of Radiohead. These jokes are stupid, but he's crying for attention, so, okay, here's the attention you want. You're a fucking creep. You're a shitty person. You're a horrible, like, you're a shitty excuse for a comedian. And hopefully your severance pay isn't too high when Fox News finds out probably all of what you're doing. All allegedly.
Allegedly.
And other Radiohead news. they're releasing a songbook.
Yeah, apparently.
Did you read about that?
A little bit. Not much. But, But it was a book that like had lyrics and chords for pretty much all of their music, right? Or well, most of the stuff on SB songs, right?
Including some of the rare shit too.
Okay, if they put, I don't even know what song I'd want. If they put, let me think of a song that I would love for me to hear. That's kind of random. They put Gagging Order. If they put Gagging Order in there, that's dope.
That's some deep state Radiohead.
What?
That's some deep state Radiohead.
Deep state, dude. You don't even. Oh, Dan, you don't even know my deep state Radiohead. Well, no, so you know my deep state Radiohead. The audience doesn't know the deep state Radiohead I know. The amount of, like, stuff that shouldn't exist but does exist. Radiohead. Like, Killer Cars is a dope song. That's such a good song. I mean, I don't want to say anything because I'm going to keep ranting on. That's really cool. So there, the songbook, over 160 songs, as well as artwork from Stanley Donwood, who he did artwork for almost all of their shit. Like, I know he did Kingdom Limbs, a lot of stuff from all the In Rainbow stuff, like, long time contributor, so that's actually kind of cool. I don't know how that's much sick. It's going to be. Kazuka Sasan said, even still, we're guessing this new songbook won't be on Fox News Holiday Gift Book Guide. Probably not.
Oh, Consequence of Sound. Shout out to Donovan Farley for writing that one.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Christmas is coming up, you know. That pagan holiday's coming up, so you know what I got to do.
It's on my list.
On my list.
I'm thinking about you. All right.
Been thinking about you. Speaking of Radiohead.
Anyways, check please.
And I say, check please.
Okay, so after this next story, we will no longer probably talk about Damon Albarn or Radiohead or any of our like own little random rants. The last part was a lie. We're definitely gonna be ranting some more. But nevertheless, Damon Albarn's side project, Good, Bad, the Queen, they're going back at it again. For those who didn't know, the Good, Bad, and the Queen was a combination of Paul Simonon from The Clash, Simon Tong from The Verve, Tony Allen from Afrobeat, and Damon Albarn from many things. Gorillaz, Blur, yeah, many things. And when they released their last album, I think it was either a little bit before Plastic Beach came out or a little bit after.
I believe it was before, right?
I think so, because I think it was in between Demon Days and Plastic Beach. No, definitely Good, Bad, Queen had become before Plastic Beach. That's totally right. But that had been, like, that was a really good album that came out. And it really, like, it was just, like, a good throwback album. Like, an ode to, like, that kind of era they're talking about. Because we're talking about The Clash. This is, like, 80s, 70s, like, that.
That's good stuff. 80s. That's good shit.
Yeah. Really good shit. I loved when Paul Simonon and the bassist, I forget his name, but they were both from The Clash, and they toured with Gorillaz, and they had that kind of like bass style, and they just, they made everything really nice live. But yeah, it's good to know that that's returning. I think they're aiming for a new album. Yeah, they have their debut in 2007. They're aiming for a new album next year. Who isn't? Oh, well, gives us shit to talk about, probably.
I mean, yeah, it's cool. I didn't really listen to it much when it happened.
Yeah, I was about to ask.
I remember listening to it when it came out. That was like In Rainbow's time, so it was hard to really like listen to it all that much. But it was okay. Like, it was pretty cool. So it's awesome that it's doing something more, because I'll be more inclined to listen to it. If that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like definitely. I'll actually really pay attention to it and see. So I mean, they're all great musicians. So looking forward to it. I remember you put this in the rundown, and I like really glanced over it because I didn't know what it meant. Oh, Good, Bad, Queen, Return. You go, wait, what is that? The little side project thing? I go, oh shit! Like, really forgot about that.
Yeah, no, I didn't forget, but I just want to go back to what you said really fast. I love how you said, oh, this came out around the time of In Rainbow, so that made it really hard to listen to, as if you were in deep within the grips of In Rainbows, and therefore could not listen to any other music.
2008 was a good year for me. Well, In Rainbows came out 2000, like it was a January, or December 30th or something like that, whenever it came out, so it was like, it was 2008. I remember when it came out, I go, oh my god, this is heaven on earth. It was right. Good shit. This was good shit. So, we move on.
21.
To, without warning.
Okay, so seriously, Without Warning is a surprise collaboration album that came out this year. Released by 21 Savage,
Offset,
and If Young Metro Don't Trust You, I Will Shoot You. Sean's favorite producer.
Yep. Obviously, my favorite producer of all time.
Totally unannounced album, really. But yeah, came out this week. Trap album, 10 tracks. Ooh, here we go. Sean, what do you think?
Oh, fucking kill me. Okay, for those of you who don't know, I hate trap, usually. I have to be in a super mood to really listen to it because it's pretty garbage. It all really sounds the same and it's like disgusting in the way because of the lyrics and stuff. Yeah, this is pretty bad. Pretty up there with the disgustingly shit music, if you can call it music. If I hear, if you're on Metro and don't trust you, I'm going to shoot you one more time. I'm going to march there and shoot him myself. Allegedly. So, every song, I swear to God,
Sean,
you
know they're from Atlanta, right? You know they're from the South, right? They're going to be fighting words.
Well, they didn't. I don't have the energy. I don't even want to say that. I was going to say something wild, but I can't. So, I'm not going to. Because Dan, you don't know, that entire thing would just be bleeped. You'd have to literally cut and paste to your review of the album. It was going to be that bad. Anyways.
Sean, I'm going to give you some fodder in the bottom of the rundown. You read over that, give me your thoughts, and then I will tell about how I thought about the album. So I'm a little bit more forgiving to trap music, I guess, than Sean might be. And I especially found... ever since I started listening to 21 Savage, I think maybe even like 2 weeks ago, I think I talked about it in the last podcast a bit at the end. I realized that I actually like 21 Savage as far as trap goes more than Gucci Mane. I found some of the like tracks he had made like just like really catchy and like, I guess the style, the way he goes in his voice, I really like that. And so with this album, I enjoyed that it was really... there, like, all of it kind of worked together. And as, like, a trap collaboration album, I thought it was very strong. Like, Ghostface Killers is a great, like, opening intro song. My Choppa Hate Niggas is just, like, a funny... I just love the lyrics to that. And then Run Up the Racks went really hard, but something does totally need to be said about the fact that... I think I joked about this with Sean, too, that, at one point, Sean was listening to the album, and he said, if Young Metro Don't one more time, I'm going to be upset. And I had already listened to the album, and I told him, however many songs you have left in the album, that's going to be said 1.3 times more.
And you were right.
There's actually one song where he drops, like, both of his little, like, signature things twice in the same song. There's a new one, by the way. There's a new one. But, like... It was overall, in my opinion, as someone who is more, has a more of a proclivity towards trap music, I think it was a really strong, like, outfit. But that being said, Sean, oh God, here we go. What do you think?
Go down, go to our rundown.
I'm reading, continue.
Okay, so, yeah, I hate it with the burning passion. It's like, it's disgusting. Yeah, he read what I typed.
No.
I can't say that. That whole entire thing was going to be bleeped.
My God. It's best if I just pretend I didn't read that. Keep going.
So, yeah.
Do not get into a beef with Sean.
There's like a damn quota of how many weird sounds and noises they do. That's not music. That's just going blip, skirt. Here's a bird. What the hell? It doesn't make sense. It's stupid. It's ugly. And yeah, I don't like it at all. I hate it. That's me. I like rap, you know? That's not a problem. But trap is just, it's more of disgusting towards women and other stuff. And you go, okay, like, this is really rough. Do you guys really want to do that? Do you really want to run up and get bags of chalk and shit? Just slaying for drugs, for those kids who don't know. get chakras on the flow. Yeah,
no,
I hate it.
So you're specifically referencing the song Disrespectful, which I think is fair enough to point out because, I mean, even listening to that song, which has like some pretty intense lyrics, like not going to lie. I don't want to like glorify that at all. It's important to like at least like acknowledge these things and have this conversation. But this was an internal dialogue I was having in my head while listening to the album is that, okay, well, traditionally, I mean like 15 years ago, we've always said, well, there's some interesting standards in like rap music, and we're specifically looking at rap music. Never mind that there have been like dirty standards in most types of music with lyrics, period. Anytime you can have a human make words to it, it will involve something about like sex and other human behaviors that some are better than others when it comes to respecting other people. But nevertheless, it's the old traditional argument would be like, hey, this is art. It's kind of like a fiction. It's kind of like detailing like this glorified thing. Like these people are kind of characters in a sense, right? But
there comes a point. There comes a line that you cross.
Yes. Yes, and I have two like points to that. Okay, well, how do we apply this to you as a character? Do we believe you enough to like go with this music being like? Do we believe you enough to go? Okay, this is the persona you're. Sorry, let me gather my thoughts. Do we believe you enough to the point where when we see you live, we know that you're a character and we're just playing along with the character? And if so, are we okay with playing along with a character that has these sort of like values and raps about these kind of things? Whether they truly believe it or not, are we okay with just like sitting and just like having a fun time to it? Because like, whether it's a joke or not, if some of these things were said by like politicians or movie stars, hashtag no politics. But like, geez. It's an important conversation to bring up like in this, to be honest, right? Like how, like, where does that get reconciled? Why are we giving like this a pass and this not? I mean, we talked about I gave you the Travis Scott. Do you want to like go into that at all? Did you see that link?
Yeah, I mean, you could go that route if you. I mean, do you want to explain it to humans real quick or?
Yeah. So, Travis Scott, who like is featured on this album, he's like part of it for sure. He is being sued by a fan for like. Basically, like, really hyping his audience up to the point where they were just, like, really intense, like, pushing people around, and someone got pushed off the balcony, and apparently Travis Scott told people to, he's encouraging people to jump, and then, like, encouraging people to, like, pull him over, and now he's, like, paralyzed, and...
Oh, shit. I didn't know he was paralyzed.
Like, yeah, he has a fractured vertebrae, broken wrist, fractured ankle from the fall. After falling, Scott had his security guards drag him to the front of the stage, causing further damage to Green's neck.
So, that's you ain't going back from that. That's rough. Jeez. Yeah. It's like, yeah, like, where's the line? Where's the limit in this type of music? You know, where, okay, fine, a form of expressing yourself, but when does expressing yourself cross the line into, you know, it's demeaning to others, you know, demeaning to a lot of stuff is females stuff. Like, really? You can't just be a nice dude? But, you know.
But, I mean, like, to me it's less of, because, so my second point that I was going to make is that if we're going to assume you're playing a character, then that makes me, like the other, like, artists out there who rap, or like, yeah, rap specifically, like Vince Staples or like Kendrick, or like, are there artists who talk against that and go like, yeah, I know there's a lot of like fakeness going along and all this like bullshit.
Exactly.
I hate it. I'm calling it out. I'm standing against it. And like, here are the things I am. And like, not like Kendrick's lyrics or like Vince Staples' lyrics are perfect, right? Like, even it's weird how we contextualize and we apply different standards to musical lyrics, maybe because it's just like the conveying of it. But obviously like the line is like really weird. And I don't want to have like one of those like Fox News 2000s conversations with why is black people music so violent? Like, I'm aware of it. Like, that's a trope that can easily be made from this, and I'm like not trying to say that. As I said in the very beginning of this conversation, there's not any type of music that is just like totally free and devoid from any sort of like violent tendencies. Like, lest I forget, a song that is like too alarmingly catchy considering how horrible it is, made by Disney in the 1940s, is about Donald Duck being a Nazi.
Yeah. All right?
It's called De Fjord's Face. It wasn't made, the song wasn't made by Disney, but they made the song into a war propaganda film. All right?
Yep.
So nothing is like, no medium is free or safe from any like wrongdoing or like moral wrongness, right? We obviously apply different standards to media because it's like a portrayal of what's being seen. But when it comes to music, when it comes to artists who are saying, yeah, I'm rapping about real life, but no, I'm not rapping about real life. Like, I'm not actually doing that. Like, where is that line? That line is not really clear in what you're talking about. And if it is, then like, motherfucker, you're confessing the crimes. Like, Rap Snitch Knish is over here, right?
Rap Snitch Knish is one of the, that's a damn good song.
Don't Sleep, MF Doom.
MF.
But overall, like, if I'm just looking at this as a trap album, like as what it is, looking at it as what it is, in that kind of narrow sense, it's a phenomenal collaboration between artists who are like, as artists, really good. But yeah, like I've applied an actual human standard in who you are as a person. And like, I don't divorce those two in music. Or like, I explain what I am, but like, I'll pull it all together. And yeah, this Travis Scott thing with the fan, like, yeah, I've only read this article, but it doesn't look really good. And I still do have this problem with a lot of the lyrics with it. But the last thing I want to say, Sean, before you, like, you can have your last points, then we wrap up with this part, is that what I'm starting to like in trap is like a bit of what I used to enjoy with EDM concerts and things, but a more chilled form of it. Because with trap music as a genre, it's a very versatile form in the sense that you can go hard to it and really like jump and be excited with it. Or you can kind of like, I can listen to it to relax even. And that's like an interesting part of the genre. That's why I really personally enjoy it for me. But you can make music like this and you can make music with this style and not have it like, I guess kind of be, the distraction is there. The distraction that people like you notice who maybe are just coming into the genre or don't totally see it. But then you come in and you go, okay, well, maybe the beats are okay, but like, what the fuck is this? Like, all these like random noises, maybe it's too much for me. Or maybe you're just being Grandpa Sean. I don't know. But then there's definitely something to be said about like all of the lyrics and where that line truly is.
Yeah, I mean, I know why people like it. I see why people like it. It's just like, EDM, or you know, that style that I don't like. I get why people like it, because yeah, exactly, it's a distraction. It, you know, you can go, it'll hype you up, it'll do this and that, but to me there comes a line where it goes, well, to me, I just don't like the genre in general, because I never really have. But trying to fake, like, what's the best way to word this?
It's,
but
difficult.
it becomes tacky, if that's the best way.
I like to say. I don't know if even that's the best word to use, but I like that.
I'm trying to figure
it's tacky.
Out.
No,
it's tacky.
I like it.
Yeah, because you know me, I definitely like certain forms of rap. No, but like, I love Vince Staples. Like, that's my dude forever. Love him. Love his work. Kendrick is okay. I don't mind him. I love MF Doom. And Sylvester, it's driven. So, you know, and
yeah,
et cetera.
There's a lot of artists.
There's a lot, yeah. And it's not that at all. It's just trap itself to me is really, really corny. And it's overplayed and overdone. And then now it's just getting disgusting, if that makes any sense. So that's my big thing on it. Because I just hear people bumping it all the time. And I go, okay, I can't even tell you who this is.
You know, it's just like, it's really inoffensive music to me, like, to play, because it's played everywhere, and so if you play it, no one's gonna go, oh, what's this weird genre you're talking about? Like everyone hears it, so it's not going to be kind of too out there. So it's really, like, safe for me to play if I'm, like, I have control of a playlist, and I don't know what to play at some, like, social gathering, which happens to me a lot more than you would think. It has that quality to it, and I can see its broader appeal, but there are these things that it has to kind of reach. And I think even rap had this impasse when we crossed from like gangster rap to kind of what we're seeing today. It's almost like diaspora, the spreading of these different genres that are going on. And that's really kind of confronting these questions of what do you want this star power to do? Because at the end of the day, this is influence. This is not just music, it's money, it's power, it's influence, right? And so how are you presenting that? How are you doing that? I like the way you're doing this, Sean. We're pushing it in a way where you have to be a little bit more mindful and responsible of what that actually really means as an artist.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like playing ignorant bullshit, and I will. So I love it.
and honestly, sometimes, yeah, exactly. Sometimes, you know, I want to play NWA because fuck it. You know, yeah. I understand that. Exactly. Sometimes you just need to just do that, where you're like, fuck it, I really want to listen to some wild shit. That's fine, but not every day. But anyways, that was a long explanation of that album.
That was a lot, but I think we really
I really needed to have that conversation, too. We haven't talked about it much.
So, two last things before we totally move on. I'm proud of you, Sean. I expected you to go in a lot harder, but I think you... You're too rational.
I'm too German. It doesn't. I'm sorry. My brain doesn't allow me to go in white.
And then, yikes. Oh, wow, that did happen. All right.
Yeah, no, I get it out somehow. You know?
All right. And secondly, arbitrary score.
So we're doing letters today, yeah?
I mean, it's up to you. It's arbitrary, remember?
It's very arbitrary. I'm going to take... I'm about to be a nerd and do Fallout video game reference. I'm about to go in caps.
Guy?
Right? No, I'll give it a solid D plus. C minus.
I give it, again, calling it... Trap, what it is, Trap, and all the flaws that come with it all, B+. I think it's a very strong album, personally.
All right. Yeah, okay.
Also acknowledging at great length all the many problems like with the genre inherently, and fully agreeing that those are there. But like to review it as music, it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, we're going to talk about concert tickets, which is fun. And then we're going to talk about Sam Smith, which is very fun. So let's get to that. So we talked a little bit with Taylor Swift and her use of this like verified fan ticketing system from Ticketmaster that was meant to kind of like tamper down on people who buy tickets immediately, take advantage of bots, and then resell tickets at stupidly high prices.
Yep.
So, like, you know, this is just, like, kind of suck all around. Also, U2 Live. I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to put it. So, I like U2 Live, for sure. But yeah. Not for everybody.
And I'm really looking forward to this album. We don't talk about singles, but U2 did a single with Kendrick Lamar, who... Sorry, sidestep, I do want to bring... I just want to have this expression right now. Kendrick Lamar has become that artist where... He's going around the block. He's Major Lazer. He's doing collaborations with everyone.
Right?
Thing versus everywhere. He's on everything.
Thank you, dude.
You're big. You're everywhere. But, like, maybe this is label shit. Maybe it's just, like, an obligatory thing they have to do. But I don't understand it.
Yeah. I mean, it could be rough.
Yeah. Anyways, but, yeah, U2 and Kendrick did a song together. I don't care. We will hear it when U2's album comes out in December, and it's going to be good, maybe. Anyways, but back to the verified fan. I'm listening to way too many Joe Rogan intros.
You really are.
But this...
this is interesting.
So sorry. The verified fan platform.
Yes, it basically, please, let's do this.
In a way to try to weed out who really wants to go to the concert versus who wants to just upsell tickets, it creates a bunch of hoops to jump through to kind of prove that you're a fan. The same way Google's CAPTCHA system works now, where before you had to like enter in random letters and numbers until Google realized, wait, we track people based on ads anyways, so we know how humans act, so we can figure out how this works. And so now you just like click a button or like prove that you can recognize what parts of a picture are signs, and like that's how you get in, right? But it's basically it's using that same kind of technology to kind of verify that you're a person and try to tamp down on the bots. And because there's more hoops to jump through, ideally, if you're a real like fan of the concert of the band and you're like following all of this, then you will jump through those hoops, and ideally, you'll get better ticket sales. And so,
correct.
Taylor Swift wanted to do this. Yeah. So Taylor Swift was doing this, and she was also adding some, like, other experience stuff where, like, you also had to buy things and you got extra points that moved you further ahead.
That was the bullshit. That's just
like, even if that wasn't Taylor Swift, that's just some like awful late stage capitalism bullshit, right? Like, oh, you'll get more points to get something that you should already want, so you don't have to get over, like,
yeah, it's like pay to win games, you know, where it's like, oh, get this DLC, you need to do this, you need to buy this weapon so you can fucking play the game. I bought the game, isn't that enough? You know, it's like EA, goddamn EA, trying to buy me.
Yeah, I never wanted to be sponsored by EA anyways.
Never, ever, actually, no. You know, hard moratorium.
You know, I take that back. Bad Company 3, we'll have a conversation.
Yeah, you know, if they bring that up, I'll be like, well, you'd make Jets very fun. And you didn't make it pay to play. But then all the other games afterwards, you did. So fuck you.
Yeah. You know what? Back to basics, Electronic Arts. We're influencing so much. So much influence. Wow. Anyways, but so it doesn't look like U2 is going to be doing the same thing where they're going to be giving preferred, like, priority to people who buy their merch through Ticketmaster or whatever. But it is creating those hoops. I think this is a better implementation of what I honestly think. Take out, like, the evil bigness of Ticketmaster for a second. I think it's a good idea and something that should be handled. I like this move, all right? I don't like Ticketmaster as a company generally, but I like this move. I like the intent going into it. I think I said that before. But hopefully this is a better implementation and it works out. But what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I want to see it really, really used a few times, you know, and see how it affects people, you know, you're the guy. I heard it. I've only been the guy once, and well, good job.
Well, I haven't received a Snapchat from you this episode yet, so.
Oh shit! Thank you for reminding me.
Fuck.
First off, I'm you right now. I have like 1,000 tabs open, so I'm gonna send that. But anyways, yeah, I think it's really interesting, and it's a bit better than the one that Taylor Swift did, or, well, not did, but proposed, because it doesn't have all of that pay-to-win bullshit, so now I'm going to refer to it as from now on.
Payday, you're a winner.
That's a damn good song. Most Def also goes hard with Mathematics, because that song, even though it was made in, like, 1999, still relevant. Almost 20 years later.
Sorry, I don't want to go back to this too fast, but, like, what if we had Woke Trap?
Like, I would be down with Woke Trap, honestly. If someone is rapping about the Prism system or something like that, or
I don't even need Woke Trap. I just need less rapey trap.
Yeah, because that's my problem. It's getting there. But anyways, but we really need to just literally have a conversation on that, because that's gonna take an hour. But anyways, I like this whole verified fans thing. I want to see it used more, and then I'll make a full opinion. Then, if that makes any sense. I want to see it really implemented, and if anybody starts to get screwed over by it, then I'll be like, okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Ticketmaster claims that the verified fan program reduces the opportunity of secondary ticketing by over 90%. Interesting. So, that's... I totally agree with you. This is a new thing. I think the way they're implementing it here, as long as they're not doing that pay-to-play bullshit, I totally agree with you. Yeah, I just hope it goes well and they don't fuck it up, because I think at the end of the day, artists should get paid, which they're already doing, and artists should get paid the full amount for what they do. People who, like, upsell the tickets, that's just, like, basically dead weight loss. That's not going into the music industry. That's not going in, like, artists' pockets, or that's not going to fans in terms of savings. That's just making shit easier for people to profit off of, which is, like, yeah, exactly. You can do that. It's totally legal, but, like, no one wants that, right? And only one person wins. That's shitty. And then I found this interesting article about ticket prices across the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really... This is cool, actually.
Yeah.
Most expensive! Surprise, surprise, surprise.
The most expensive city to get concert tickets in on average is Los Angeles, California.
Surprise, surprise, surprise. I always get fucked in my fuckhole from prices. So I got nice paraphrase in the world, right? It's unbelievable how expensive tickets are when I,
yeah, even before the upselling. Like, we're not talking about the upselling.
No,
yet.
We're not even talking about upselling. Just the damn venues themselves here. It's like, whoa. Like, normally it's $150, and then I'm going to upsell, so I have to pay $480. What?
Yeah.
Like, that's an entire damn check. I can't do that.
Really fast. The study was done by Wanderoo, and it shows just different major cities around the country and how expensive the tickets are. For record, the cheapest place they had in here was Grand Rapids, Michigan. $7,309 was the average.
That's cheap as knobs.
Which is like,
Jesus.
Beautiful. Let's go through some other like larger cities. Las Vegas was number two at $123.94. LA, if we didn't say that, was $127.57. All these in US dollars. Shout out to the international folks. Uncasville, right. Connecticut is number six. I'm sorry to anyone in Uncasville, Connecticut. I've never heard of that before. Because, you know, we got LA, Las Vegas, Houston, San Diego, DC, Uncasville, New York, Charlottesville, but
Boston, right, Dallas, Newark, Free Speech Studios, Chicago.
You know what? I'm actually not met. San Francisco's number 12. I'm feeling okay about that.
And it makes sense because we've seen a couple of shows in the Bay Area and they weren't.
First off, like, San Francisco just has, like, a good scene for music. There's a lot of really nice places to go. There's a lot of really nice venues. And you don't even live up here, dude. Like, you can go to nice shows every single night, like, as a crapshoot. And, like...
Oh, I know. I see Tammy's Snapchats all the time, and I'm really jealous because she goes to some dope-ass shows every night, almost. Tammy from the episode of Audio Face that I wasn't here. Don't remember the number. Probably, like,
18 or something. Yeah, I think it was, like, 18 or something. But definitely check that out. Super, like, if you, like, need to listen to content, like, that's 3 hours of us talking about music and little tipsy. It's really fun. But, yeah, I'll leave a link to this ticket prices thing so you can kind of see where your, like, nearest metropolitan area kind of
stacks up. If you're a metronome.
All right, speaking of pipes, are you ready? Sam
Smith. Oh, yes! I've been looking forward to this.
Well,
I've been looking forward to the man with the... Ow, that was going to sound really bad. Handbrake.
Oh, God.
The man's got some chords, is what I'm going to say. So, Sam Smith, the thrill of it all. Sam Smith, you know, came about 2013, 2014. I think 2014 is when he released In the Lonely Hour. He really got big with Disclosure from Latch, who, I mean, we've been listening to Disclosure for forever. So when Latch came out...
Latching on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Da.
When that came out, I go, damn, that's a good song. Fortunately, in the US, it got overplayed as hell. Because people are like, oh my god, house music? What is this? and it was really dope. And he kind of burst onto the scene because people are like, holy crap, this dude can sing. And he's gone through it, like, hell and back. A couple of times. So when he announced that he was going to do an album again, I go, yes, please, because his last one was very, very good. So he released his single, Too Good at Goodbyes, which I liked. I thought it was a little too churchy at the end, but it was fine. I liked it. And then, so released the album, and shit, it's good. I really like it. My favorite still is Say It First, because it's like this really chill alternative song. So the album kind of goes in phases where it's like alternative smooth, I don't want to call it like alternative rock ish but with powering vocals. That's something, I mean, that's the whole theme of him. Then it goes into like kind of soul stuff, really jazzy stuff too, so it's really eclectic in that way, but it all flows in together. I was worried when the first couple of songs I listened to, I go, oh god, is this just gonna be all over the place? But it had this theme that worked well together. All of the songs, you know, had the same theme, had the same ideas, but they were all different in that way. Like, they all had different feels. They're all a little bit different together as an album. And those are my favorite types of albums. If you can make something that each song isn't the same, each song is really different. If you try a different, try a feel with other things and it works together, and that's what this is. It's really good. I love it.
Yeah.
Your take.
So, I want to just go right in with the instrumentation of the album. It's weird because a lot of music we listen to, and I think of like instruments first. I don't even like the lyrics kind of come almost like as an afterthought. I think we've mentioned this before. But when you have an artist like Sam Smith, where the vocals are so, like, prominent in front, you have just, like, that voice that's just so powerful, so, like, soulful, and, like, this full of this, like, depth, like, it obviously makes you pay attention to that. That being said, instrumentation is still there. It's still a big part of music. Still something I was really paying attention to.
Yeah. And honestly, sorry to cut you off.
No, no problem.
But you just mentioned instrumentation, and that's, I think, why I like this album so much, because his last album was more acoustic-y, and the instrumentation was kind of whatever. This one, it was, like, really, really good instrumentation in the background. It sounded like a really put-together album. Anyway, sorry, I just thought of that right now, and I knew I was going to lose that thought.
No, how dare you interrupt my train of thought? I would never do that to you.
You don't have to be plenty of times, you asshole.
I know. I'm trying. I'm really trying. So I have a slightly different take, which I think will make for an interesting conversation about the instrumentation. Yeah. So, as I was saying, with an artist where vocals come out very, like, in the front, like, your attention is shifted to the vocals. But because of that, I think less attention is shifted towards the instrumentation. And you're right. It did have, like, a kind of a bit of a flow. Some songs were, like, a bit more upbeat and poppy and soulful, maybe, like, bluesy, like, having those, like, sort of vibes in relation to that. Others were more poppy. There was definitely a range, right? But I'm not sure about the credits on this album, to be honest. But it just... like, some of the instrumentation lacked a little bit of, I guess, some, like, to be honest, some of the instrumentation left me a bit bored, which I think is kind of sad.
Well,
I'm kind of stumbling over myself trying to describe this, because what I was trying to say in the beginning is, with an artist like Sam Smith, where vocals are the main thing you're talking about, like, instrumentation is not meant to overpower or...
just meant, like, to accompany
be anything
along.
More than it's only meant to accompany, and it has to absolutely take a back end to the vocalist. Of course, I understand that, and that's generally how, like, music is. When you have music where, like, a vocalist is the, like, really big one, instrumentation isn't the most important thing. But I guess I'm just upset that I can't have both. I'm upset that things aren't perfect. That's my problem. But
here's the thing: if my favorite thing in the world is if Sam Smith was in a dope band. A 5-person band, and Sam Smith is the lead vocalist. That would be the perfect world. But, unfortunately, it's just, you know...
which is why when he collaborates with Disclosure, it's so good.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's a big thing to your point, too, is where the instrumentation... I get why it could sound a little boring. I get that. To me, you know, I like... it depends what mood I'm in, but I mean, I like Sigaros, which is... you know, interpretation is really slow build up the whole time. And that's kind of how this is. But I could tell it's, you know, the musicians that the studio hired or the record company hired, and they're great musicians, but it's not his own band. You know, if it was his own band, it would be a lot different and sound pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's not like, you know, the Killers where I say, hey, Brandon Flowers' voice is too overpowering to where it gets a little annoying.
Yeah, lower the decibels on that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, go to the mic and say, hey, Young Metro, can you turn me down a little bit here or what?
Can you imagine Metro Boomin producing for the Killers?
I'm kind of down. Fuck it. Let's see what happens. Can you go, if you're on Metro, no, I'm going to shoot you.
just like this, like, heavy guitar riff, and at the end it's just like at the, like, the last four steps, it's just Young Metro wants some more, nigga.
That would be brilliant. That is the intro right there.
Oh man. No, but I do think you make a great point. I think when I had that epiphany that, like, that's why that makes Sam Smith's collaborations, because he's not collaboration heavy. He doesn't just appear anywhere.
Not at all.
And, like, he's friends with Disclosure. Like, they kind of, like, came up together. So, like, I expect them to do things together, too. And even if they don't, like, Omen and Latch, like, those are good game. Like, I'm not going to complain, right? But
damn good songs.
I am very aware of that dynamic that for, like, singer-songwriters like this, like Sam Smith, he's paying attention to the lyrics and he's paying attention to his voice in the opposite order. So, like, first, most importantly, he's paying attention to his voice. Second, most importantly, he's paying attention to his lyrics. And then after that's the instrumentation, which Sam Smith, I'm not saying this is I don't feel like this is even if he's less talented. I don't even know if I can make that call from that because a lot of this is outside of his control per se. But yeah, I do. It leaves that to be desired. I did say that I didn't like Say It First when I first heard it. I listened to it my second time when I went second time to the album.
Yeah, what do you think?
I liked it a little bit more, but I think like my same complaint, which
it's,
like
it's quiet.
We just talked out about like kind of resonates. And yeah, I lean towards songs that like have more energy to them. I like a little more energy.
Oh yeah.
So that's just like my internal
bias.
That's personal
taste on that. And you know me, I like quiet build up, have to think songs. That's just, you know, that's why Cigarettes is one of my favorite bands. You know,
yeah.
To drop them again. Exactly. So I thought that. And I know you like him a lot, and that's a damn good song.
Yeah. So fucking powerful. Like that's, I think of, and or at least like for me, and maybe this could just be like a little my internal by side talking to me, like the gay dance coming out every once in a while. But he's like the songwriting skill and like the talent with his like vocal cords is like, it gives you goosebumps really. And there are not a lot of artists that do that for me. Like Lord, sometimes Damon Albarn and Sam Smith really.
And like, Radiohead as a band.
Yeah, I'm not naming. I can't name all of them, like, because they're too many to name, right? And there's many artists I'm not.
I mean, we did that segment a while ago where the stuff that gives you goosebumps. If that was like episode 7 of Audio Face or something like that, I don't remember.
Yeah,
that was early on.
Super deep cuts. Listen to those.
That's deep state Audio Face. If you want to go in there and figure out if like Lennon is alive or not,
jump in. Oh no, absolutely do that. I stopped myself from going on to like a whole nother tangent.
I feel
to the album. Yeah, what can I say? His voice is phenomenal. I have something a little more to be desired, but Sean and I kind of talked out the validity of that, and I think we're mostly in agreeing that it's something you kind of come to expect with a genre. With every genre, there's limitations of that genre, and what I have a problem with is just one of those limitations. So there's only so much I can go for with that. But even given without those limitations, or like given those, it's an amazing album by one of the most like prolific singers, like contemporary singers out there, who has only up to go in his career. This album's just like even better to me than Lonely Hour. It's just
way better.
It's a great
honestly.
Progression. Yeah. No, nothing but like thumbs up for me. Like I don't give A's very often in this arbitrary scale. We don't even use the scale all the time, but this would definitely be like a solid A for me.
Yeah, honestly, me too. I try not to give them out as much as well. I mean, because you know we have to save them for our end of the show, our award show.
End of the year awards.
End of the year awards, which can be fun. Yeah, solid A by far, because it's such a great, as you said, such a great progression from In the Lonely Hour to where he's a complete singer, in my opinion, and someone who used to do all
I wouldn't go
that
as
too.
Far to say as he's a complete singer, but he's a more complete singer, because for all we know, like, Sam Smith's still very young, he's gotten way more in the career, and I'm thinking of, like, singers like, rest in peace to Bobby Womack, right? But to say Bobby Womack with, like, his first 5 years was like he had peaked. No, he only got better. And even with age, his voice still had this like even better like resonance to it. And so, Sam Smith, I think he's gonna go even further. I hope at least.
Yeah. No. He will. I assume. I don't think he will go away anytime soon. I like his stuff. So, anyways.
B.O.B. You're gonna B.O.B. is gonna.
Oh fuck!
So if it, so, here's
My god! Oh, he's a flat earther. I almost choked right there. America is 250 years old, yet slavery lasted for 400. That's the.
Wait! We have to wait. We're gonna get to Jigga, and then. Or do you want to do that story first? No,
Jigga.
We're switching it around. Okay, so. Alright, next thing. Okay, we took a quick break because I needed to blow my nose, but I told Sean about the next story, and he's so hot that we're going to do it. So
I'm literally rocking in my chair trying to contain my excitement for the stupidity that exists in humanity.
Imagine Sean kicking down a door with a folding chair in his hand, ready to just, like biting his lip, staring at the front of the room. That's what Sean's, like, about to do, all right? So let me explain B.O.B. He's a rapper who has recently, like, drawn up some controversy for saying the Earth is flat. Now has come out with saying that he doesn't believe that slavery ever happened. Because he took to Instagram to argue that America is 250 years old, yet slavery lasted for 400 years.
His argument is that, they say slavery lasted 400 years. You ever seen a slave ship? They can find a billion-year-old dinosaur bone, but can't find any slave ships. Unquote. He might be one of the biggest idiots in the entire universe. I think we found somebody to talk to. Who's the guy from Joe Rogan? I can't think of his name. Eddie Bravo. I think we found somebody to talk with Eddie Bravo with.
Eddie Bravo, B.O.B., and Tarek.
Oh, I am. Please make that a podcast. Tarek. Deep please.
Call it Deep State.
That's it. The Deep State podcast on the City Kid 23 Network coming February 2018. They'll sleep.
Oh, shit. I gotta edit that part out. We just gave out a free idea.
You really need to edit that out because I'm about to go in. Hold on. All right. Let me know when I can hop in these.
No. I'm not actually going to edit that. It's so fucking stupid. But, no.
I hate this human. Oh, my God. First off, you're a flat earther. Yes, do you have a cell phone? Do you have GPS? That's all I have to say. You're an idiot. Second of all, you're a black man. How can you deny slavery? You see the pictures. You go to the ranch, be like, that's where you're... Oh, God. Oh, no.
This guy thought that Dave Chappelle skit was a documentary. Dude's like, this is the fucking History Channel right here. Watching the fucking bootleg reverse version.
So, also, there was...
getting learnt.
Also, there was a Portuguese slave ship that was discovered off the coast of Mozambique in 2015. There's been a couple others off of Spain, I believe.
Hold on. Why the fuck are we trying to prove slavery?
Like, no. I'm not trying to prove slavery. I'm trying to prove it to him.
No.
Because I'm refuting his dumbass.
Here's what I had to learn. Yes, B.O.B. listens intently to the Audio Face podcast.
He also listens to InfoWars.
All of it. He also listens to InfoWars and the We Made It podcast, which one of these is not like the other? Anyway, but ultimately, my take is that B.O.B. is trolling because we're talking about him right now. I don't honestly, I deal with a lot of, in my day job, I deal with a lot of studying of online communities and, like, figuring out, like, how these troll networks kind of work and how they behave and, like, what they're thinking. Like, I've started to connect the dots between who is the... Yeah, it's shitty work.
I read a comment here on... I want to say it, but I can't say that. So that would
Copy-paste it.
Please. Yeah, I'm right here. I got this. All right, go.
But keep talking. As I was saying, I study these people and I'm starting to connect the actions that they do and what they say, which have little repercussion whatsoever. So they can say all this, like, dumb, crazy shit and, not, like, get away with it. Nothing bad happens. Like, no one's gonna not go to... No one who, like, likes B.O.B. already is gonna stop going to a B.O.B. concert because he's, like, saying this dumb shit, right? If anything, it gets him more clicks, it gets him more SEO, and when he releases an album, we'll be able to say, hey, remember the Flat Earther? He released an album. Let's talk about that and totally forget about that. But, like... Yeah, like, not everyone can be taken at face value. A lot of the stuff is just, like, total horseshit. And B.O.B., this, like, shtick he's doing, total horseshit. I don't actually really believe it. I don't believe he actually believes this dumbass shit because I know that B.O.B. is black. I know he probably has a mom. And if his mom's dead, it's going to be really sad. I need to figure that out really fast before I have to, like, check myself. But if B.O.B. has a mom, he's probably, like, my mom. And he would slap the she would slap the blag off of him if he if she read that quote, even as a joke. All
right? Right.
Like, you just, like... Moms of color, they don't play that shit. Like, even as a joke, you're not gonna go, so listen here, motherfucker. You're gonna say slavery don't exist.
You're just gonna see a flip flop to the face.
Like, you're done. You're out. B.O.B.'s dead. Killed him.
His B.O.B.'s dead.
Killed him.
Amen. B.O.B. dead. That's it. Yeah, cool.
That's
so,
all.
The Jigga Man, let's go on to other humans, is getting a Grammy Icon Award.
Which, yeah, so the Grammy Icon Awards are a little bit different from, like, regular, like, Grammy Awards. The Grammy Icon Award, the way that works, and it's funny he's receiving it because the Grammys are going to be in Brooklyn this year. You know, Jay-Z, Brooklyn Heights, Brooklyn legend, whatever. But he's getting it for his, quote, his contributions as an industry trailblazer and music visionary. That's mostly what he's being lauded for. And so...
Well, I'll allow it.
I think it's pretty good. I think it's well deserved. Jay-Z's like, he's an icon, whether you like it or not.
Exactly. He's there. He's one of the biggest music artists ever. Do you like it or not?
Most influential, best-selling, richest. And like, we've talked about the ramifications of him being rich and like what that means for artists, how they sell well, like making bad deals and things. But anyone who listens to Jay-Z will understand what he's saying is that people can get rich off of the system, and I'm definitely going to do it, and you would too, but I'm trying to at least encourage other people to learn how to do that for themselves in a way, which, like, as a, like, minor, like, entity manager in Syndicate 23 and what I'm trying to do here, like, I don't know, that, like, really resonates with me, and I really enjoy that. So I'm glad he's being recognized in this manner.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. Fitting. As long as Kanye West doesn't crash it and say how his woman should have got it. But, you
know. Oh, God.
All right.
2018 is going to be wild.
It really is. So.
Kanye's going to be at awards again.
Oh, fuck.
He's loose.
And
you know how trifling we're going to be in 2018?
Also.
We're going to have a Kanye cam.
First off, read these two things that I'm typing right now at the bottom. This is what I was about to say. There you go. The two things.
No.
That's why I type them out.
Lastly,
so,
we've got to go Maroon 5.
Maroon 5 released an album.
It's called
Red Pill Blues. I kind of like that title. It's kind of cool.
Let me read you the spin article titled Maroon 5 seemed to regret naming their album Red Pill Blues. So, you know what, Sean, let's have a dialogue. Don't read the article. Let's just have a conversation. I'm not going to judge you. Why do you like the name of the album?
It's just ironic. That's it. Like, Red Pill Blues. Like, because Red Pills, you know.
Red, blue, just... pill. Is it like, is it, do you think blue, the
it's blues it's a healthcare, it's a healthcare joke in my mind, because my sick and twisted socialist mind is like, you know, you should revolutionize healthcare business. So, you know, red pill.
Okay,
deep blues.
Sean.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
Most people are thinking about the Matrix.
Yeah, but the problem, see, Dan, you can't have a normal conversation with me because it's me. And
catch Sean on the Kaiser Report.
watch out! I'll be talking about Ethereum standard all around Kaiser Report, saying, "Hey, bye, get in there, I'm trying to mine it before, because at the end of this year, there's no more mining of Ethereum. You can only buy and sell. So if you're good at mining it, get it now while you can." Because it might replace Bitcoin. You never know. Don't sleep. I think I just literally flabbergasted Dan right now. I think
I'm broken.
I kicked off my entire podcast. He's like, how does Sean even know this? Why do you know this? Don't ask. Just you accept it.
So I think of the Matrix when I think.
So Red Pill Blues, it's stupid. Right, I just like it because it's funny and stupid.
Okay, so I think of the Matrix and the whole, like, red pill, blue pill decision.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But what you may not know, Sean, because you don't get into the depths of the internet the way I do, is
fuck.
Red pill has been a term for men's rights activists. The people who have some...
What? First off, why wouldn't it be blue pill? Because blue pill is usually, like, what symbolizes, like, men's prostate awareness shit and stuff like that. Red doesn't make sense, but okay, trolls.
Sean, these people aren't logical.
That's exactly. They watch Alex Jones and think that flat Earth is real, and they like Mia Yiannopoulos. Hashtag no politics.
And that's the thing. It has this connotation with this ideology on the American right wing that has to do a lot with, like, ways that men are mistreated in society. Sometimes they're kind of reasonable when it comes to, like, situations like alimony payments or, like, child support. But most of the time it's, like, meant to shut down feminists who are talking about causes where women are also, like, not being treated fairly in society. It's like, not... That's why I have the problem with men's rights activists, is that if they... I would think their intentions were better if I didn't only hear about them when they were the ones who were having injustice treated on them.
Right.
Okay. Right? But that's as far as I'll go with that. But anyways, there's also this association with red pill, and you go from, like, red pill, which is that you accept this idea that women secretly control society and that... they have, like, this control over men through sex, and that, like, you have to rise above it and, like, reject women and, like, accept that men are this, like, evolved being that, like, moves society forward through intelligence and thought, and you decide to, like, this is how low this, like, red pill thing goes. And so Maroon 5 named their album that.
Like, oh, God.
No publicity. No, but, like, this is what red pilling is. Like, it's used as a verb.
And red pilling?
Yeah. It's like cucking. It's in the family. That's what I need to tell you. It's in the family. That's my whole point. Red pill and cuck are in the same family.
Oh, dear God. Oh, God.
And so people say... No, so cucks are, in their terms, they're the people who, like, they're sellouts. They've sold out to globalism, all that stuff. Red pill are the good guys. You take the red pill, you accept all these, like, dumb, crazy facts about society that are based in very little logic and reason at all, or based in a selective view of information. Check out my Dan from the Internet, Ben Shapiro takedown coming soon. But, like, seriously. hashtag politics. But not to equate Ben Shapiro with MRAs. I know they get, like, intense with that. I'm not trying to, but I'm talking about a rhetorical strategy. Nevertheless, let me bring this back to the music just so I can educate Sean and all this shit. But,
yeah, okay, that's kind of funny. Thank you for enlightening me.
So the idea of red pill, long story short, is, like, accepting all these crazy ideas about society that basically the idea that men are oppressed and also supreme biological beings and
they probably
also all left-wing stuff is bullshit. It's dumb, right? So Maroon 5 named it that with no awareness whatsoever. But now that they realize that it has associations to the alt-right and all those things, they realize, like, oh, shit. Like, 2017 is the worst. We didn't really understand the whole men's rights thing. Which brings me back to the main problem with this album. It's old.
Yeah, my thing is it does the stupid fucking trap bass, trap drums, stupid thing that I've been ranting about. Yes, the trap snare. This entire year, the first song was whatever, second song was okay, and the third song, I heard it, and I go, oh no. Oh, no. It returned. It 2010s, the years of the trap snares. It's whatever. Also, I can't fucks with them because they have fucking Snapchat filters on their album covers, and you can only have a filter on if you get nudes. So, sorry. That's the rule.
Sean facts right here.
That's it. And I can't fuck with somebody who puts bunny ears on their goddamn album cover. That's... No. Stupid. Red pill blues.
Oh my god, really I totally didn't...
The stuff that filters.
Okay, so I have a confession to make. I didn't look at the album cover as closely as I should have. The album cover is everything wrong with this album.
Yeah, literally, it's just off. It's what like the musicality of it's kind of whatever, but they tried to do all of the bad new things that are out in this day and age. If that makes any sense, all of the overproduction, over. Electronification without knowing how to properly use it is in this. And that stupid trap snare. You go in. You have a revelation, haven't you?
I don't have a take. I've transcended to having an opinion.
Wow, that's opinion. Go.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Maroon 5 is out of touch.
You know, it is. 100%. I like Adam Levine a lot, because the dude's really chill, and he's cool. He also wears Fred Perry, so I fucks with him forever.
I also like my high school government teacher. He's also just a bit out of touch.
Exactly. There you go. Where it's like, it just, you're not within, you're trying to be within
Redmond
the time.
The bus.
Right. Jesus Christ, I haven't heard that name in years. It just seems like it's trying too much.
Yeah, it's like the entire controversy over the album title is a microcosm for everything wrong with the album. I fished out the hot take. There we go. There it is. Right there. Just gonna throw its bloody, still beating hot take heart on my desk, and what a podcast. No, but this lack of connection to realizing, hey, if like for example, hey, Red Pill, probably not the best thing to do in an album in 2017. Maybe we should check this out. Maybe we should figure out and really look into our music and look at all the influences and not kind of like rush it together. Let's try to push the boundaries a little bit and really look and see, wow, like a lot of things, like the time for what Maroon 5 kind of sounded like, which is what this album does, was long past, all right?
Yeah.
Like Maroon 5's prime for how their music basically sounds like and a basic structure for how their sound is as a band has long passed. And they have not really changed at all. They have not really, like, read the tea leaves of 2017 to see what you should do in music, what you shouldn't do in music. Okay, like, I'm even more generous than you. Incorporate trap snare, but don't do it randomly. Make it make sense.
Make it really work.
Like, make it do well. Like, don't just throw it in there because, oh, it's kind of there. Kendrick Lamar, that's why I kind of thought about it earlier and wanted to bring it up, but it's right here. He's on the second to last song. Future's on the last song, by the way, because that's wild. I mean, it's not unusual for Maroon 5 to collaborate with like rappers and things like that, but like when rap is incorporated into rock sometimes, oftentimes it's an afterthought. And Gorillaz is really good at not doing that. Here, it's an afterthought. Like, Kendrick Lamar has, like, what, like, 4 lines in one song?
Something like that, yeah. It was just thrown in together, really awkwardly.
Yeah. And it's, like, it doesn't look good for either Maroon 5 or Kendrick Lamar. It looks like Kendrick Lamar was told, like, hey, phone in some verses, because, like, you're around the block, you're in the cul-de-sac, you gotta meet up with all the artists, you gotta give them some verses, they gotta have that, like, feature with you, they gotta release that single, it's how the game is played. Like, that's the cycle they're stuck in, it seems like. And, like, unfortunately, like, there's SZA here, too. There's ASAP Rocky, which is, like, really no surprise. There's Future, which is really no surprise. But, like, hey, that's there and it's happening. Still kind of out of touch with 2017, in my opinion. What else do I really not hate about it? It's this, the lyrics are all, like, this is the music that 35-year-old gentrifiers with beards are going to be, like, gently nudging their naughty bits up against each other as they're rocking back and forth at this, like, barely sold-out concert while Maroon 5 play their, like, shitty half-broken Telecaster to a crowd of, like, 40-somethings who, like, have no money in savings, are still renting and still relying on their parents for money, like, reminiscing about the good times they had in college back when they were listening to Maroon 5 and everything was easy before they got pregnant. That's the music. That's, like, that's what this album is for. It's stuck in the past. It's, like, back on this level where it's just corny. It's sad. It's not inventive. It's weak. D-.
Fuck. I give it a solid C+. But that's just because Adam Levine wears Fred Perry. If he wore like some other brand, I'd be like, all right, fuck you, like D-. But it's
I love
rough.
How arbitrary our scores are. That clothing influences.
Exactly. I've seen him wear Fred Perry like twice, but just because he hears that, I'm like, all right, fine. Like, I gotta give you a pass.
No, who else wears Fred Perry? Nazis.
Don't start that.
No politics.
They also wore Hugo Boss. Like, legit Nazis lower Hugo Boss. And I love Hugo Boss. I'm not a goddamn Nazi. I'm German, but I'm not a Nazi. I swear to God.
Oh,
I have to defend myself
now.
I hate this.
Okay.
Why am I
on
this podcast? That's it. I'm done. I'm leaving this podcast forever. That's it. End of my radio
come
career.
Come back. We're back. Okay.
We're back.
I vomited out my take. What else do you have to say? Like what? So my main things are that lyrics are corny. It's like this washed up, shitty love music. It's like they're trying to recreate moves like Jagger over and over again, like that kind of energy. And
that's a good note. Where it's there feels like they're trying to do their old stuff with a new twist, but everything corny.
Yeah.
Of the new stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's rough. All right.
That's why I had that comparison, that, like, kind of random comparison to, like, the couple, like, at the concert. Like, it's just, like, it's trying to remember an old time that is long past. And in trying to remember that time, you're having this, like, odd misremembering of it and this odd, like, practice of it that's basically kind of ideal to what you want to hear. Which sounds very therapeutic in a way or something, right? But the problem with this album is that it feels like it may have been decent in 2004. And that's just atrocious for what you should have from an album now. And again, the other music press is like, this is Maroon 5's best comeback of a decade. And I'm like, okay.
This is why we have the best music podcast.
This is why we do this. If you'll allow me to go into and one last rant, this is why I need Syndicate 23 to exist, because I don't have time, is my thing. I don't have time all of this bullshit that, like, is presented. Like, no one's keeping it real with people. On We Made It, like, I don't give a shit about, like, what they do or what they talk about on there, but, like, what they're doing, I know. And every single thing is that when they talk about soccer, they are keeping it real. They're telling you exactly how they think. They're being honest. They're trying to be careful about their own biases. They're trying to be clear about it. They're being entertaining. They're not trying to, like, peddle some narrative like you'll see on, like, other sports networks when they do it. And the same thing. I don't read other reviews. I don't care what the other reviews say. Like, if something sounds shit, if something's not pushing the boundaries and it's not pushing the art forward, like, I'm gonna say it sucks. And other people aren't doing that, and it's ridiculous. Like, the truth shouldn't be corny. Bullshit should be corny. And, like, bullshit needs to become corny again. Like, that's why we need to have these conversations and just saying, like, hey, this isn't Maroon 5's best album of the decade. This is Maroon 5's best album of the decade if it came out last decade. Maybe. Right? And that'd be giving it a little bit of praise, because it's not even, like, good. To say it's their best album of the decade is like to say it's a good album per se, even if it did come out in 2007, right? But yeah, I absolutely hated it, and I'm sick of this. Just gives that kind of example to show, like, maybe it's the music press when they're those 38-year-olds who are at that concert trying to reminisce of an older time, and so they're going, ah, oh, look, Maroon 5 still at it, still giving us those nice songs about really awkward sexual encounters and shit, and really odd descriptions of them. Totally cool. There goes Fire Industries.
Yep, I hear it. Fire Industries.
Yeah, like,
Taxpayer Industries.
There we go. I'm sorry, I kept that rant for, like, hang on. I'm just gonna let that. Have fun. Do that. Keep moving. Save those lives. But, sorry for keeping that over a minute, but it just needs to be said that I'm sick of bullshit and beating around the bush in reporting around music and sports and all these different things we're talking about. And I want to elevate this so that we can just, like, honestly say what we think and not be worried about what other reviewers are saying. Because I feel like there's too much of this groupthink in all of these aspects. There's groupthink in sports. There's groupthink in politics. There's groupthink in music. Everywhere involved in it. And it's about, like, being conscious of, it's not like groupthink's totally unavoidable, but it's about being conscious of it and actually just, like, calling it like you see it. That's what we need more of. I don't have time for beating around the bush like that.
Right. I like that. Well, that's why we do this thing. So we does this.
We does this. We does this heavy. along with Caesar and Bam from the We Made It podcast. Like I said, like, I love what they're doing. I love that they're bringing the same kind of, like, hard-hitting, no-nonsense
No bullshit,
stuff.
Yeah.
We Made It.syndicate23.co to check out that podcast. And also, everything Den from the Internet, Syndicate 23, I'm along with the piece I'm releasing, it's all going to be redesigned. The website's going to be nicer. You're going to be able to listen to episodes on the website, too. You're going to be able to follow social media and stuff all through there. It's going to be redesigned. It's going to look nicer. It's not going to be, like, totally built from our site. It's growing. Things are growing. All thanks to y'all for still listening. Our numbers are still growing. Like, that's awesome. Like,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Done being, it's like, I swear to you, no cocaine. This is normal me.
Really is. Do you want to wrap it up, or?
Last story.
Last story? We'll do that?
Yeah, so the highest earning dead artists. Enemy this had this very, article, and I thought it was a nice kind of thing to end on.
Yeah, so there's a high... whoa, voice nearly died there. Highest earning dead celebrities that the list is revealed. So number one is Michael Jackson at of 75 course. Million. Number two is Arnold Palmer at 40 million. He's you know, one of the best golfers ever in history. Also made in lemonade in iced tea. Charles Schultz, the cartoonist, 38
Peanuts.
Million. Elvis Presley, 35 million. Bob Marley, 23. Tom Petty, 20 mil.
Just
Prince, 18. Yeah, Dr. Seuss, 16. John Lennon, 12 million. Albert Einstein, 10 million. David Bowie, 9.5 million. Elizabeth Taylor, the actress, 8 million. Betty Page, model, 7.5 million. Yeah, that's a
really... A lot of those are musicians.
Most of those are musicians because of just royalties of people buying,
Royalties.
Just, yeah, all people buying and streaming their music still to this day, you know? Like, the Jackson family are milking Michael's stuff. Like, they have a backlog of all of his music. And be like, all right, let's slowly put this out throughout the years. Probably, like, sitting on boatloads of sand still in Neverland Ranch, which is a really strange
right?
place.
Yeah, you never know. I always... There's so... These stories like these just bring up so many questions for how these logistics work. So, are artists back pocket... I mean, I'm sure artists have, like, a bunch of songs that are just, like, unfinished they never touch, right? Like, Damon Albarn must have, like, truckloads of songs.
Right.
Right? That just, like, are never made. So, do you just, like, start working on those and go, okay, so when I die, these are going to be raking in money for the estate.
Yeah.
And, like... There's that dynamic of it. There's, like... We had to do some research earlier. Like, how's Albert Einstein still making money? And then we realized, off of his namesake, and then we realized Little Einstein's Disney money. The power of Disney money puts Albert Einstein...
Deep state who, Disney.
Like, Albert Einstein's the, like, oldest death on this list.
Yes, sir.
By
a long shot.
Other than that's like Elvis Presley in 1977 and then John, like, yeah, that's it. Like 1955, Albert Einstein died. Like that's woo money. Power of Disney money.
Power of Disney. That evil mouse is wild.
Still but isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting how it still kind of holds? Well, I mean, that's not fair to say. I was about to make a really dumb point, but what I was thinking was, it was interesting how art is celebrated so much after death. I mean, it's not to say that any of these musicians were not famous. Like, I'm not trying to compare it to that, how, like, artists back in the Renaissance period were
like Van Gogh or so.
Yeah. And it's still to be seen, like, whether we treat these figures as, like, more famous after their death or not. Like, these are icons for their era, and I think they'll be remembered along with their respective eras, for sure. Mm-hmm. And respectively with what they do, even, like, the non-musicians here, like, Charles Schultz always think about. I just lost my grandmother recently, and, like, that's something we really bond over, those, like, Peanuts cartoons. Like, it's gonna have, like, a lasting impact with a lot of people, right? But it's just amazing how art does that. A lot of these people on this list, like, this one, there's Arnold Palmer, who's the golfer, and then Albert Einstein, who's the physicist, and then there's Betty Page, who's the model, so that's, like, kind of ambiguous. But everything else is, like, arts and entertainment and, like, music. And so it's amazing how much that's celebrated, like, posthumously.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. I like the how you put this in. You just brought up a different weird point, so it's nice.
Yeah. So if you want to cash in on the money, die.
Fuck.
No, God. I denounce and reject myself for that. Anyways, this is... I want to put it out there. So, yeah. In addition to a bunch of different redesigns happening with Syndicate 23 and stuff, the end of the year is coming up. That means we're going to be doing the audio.
Yes, sir.
We want ideas for what categories we should have.
Fun.
I had the idea of best trap snare.
I have the idea of whiniest little bitch award.
Oh, absolutely. That's another one. We have to do the little bitch award.
Oh yeah, because like when Butler's in that list for sure. So we gotta do that thing.
When Butler or Shape of You guy? That's gonna be fun.
Shape of You guy.
I literally don't care enough to devote brain cells to even remember his name or even try googling it. For the record, I'm looking at a Google Doc right now, so that shows you how little I care. Best album, best like song, best single, best anything of any genre. We're gonna be doing
worst
those,
single if you have worst song, worst album,
all the superlatives. Like, what if we do like second best award or like fifth best?
All right. We also have to have word of the year as well.
Word of the year, hottest take of the year. There's many we can do, but send us your award ideas at SW Suarez on Twitter or at Dan from the Web for me on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Twitter, we want to hear what you want to say.
Let's hear it. Let's have those coming in. We will go and do that thing because we does this.
We've been talking for so long, dude.
I'm starting to lose my mind.
Let's wrap this up. Coming up in a couple weeks, we're going to be reviewing Bjork. We're going to be talking about you too.
Oh, yes.
Like, music year's just wrapping up. It's like there's still a lot to come, and then we're going to do the awards, and it's going to be fun. We might even do like a special Bjork episode. So I don't know a lot about Bjork. Sean does. It'll be a nice Q&A thing. It'll be kind of like the Beck thing. I think the Beck... where we did a preview of that episode, I think that was a cool thing. But this will be different because I know absolutely nothing. And so if you know a lot, then it'll be a cool podcast for you to catch up with Bjork. If you don't know anything, then I'll be asking questions you might be asking. And so that'll be a really cool experience. I'm looking forward to that. And yeah, many more fun conversations. Sean, what are you doing? Where can people find you?
Yeah, SW Suarez on Twitter and Instagram. Follow my triathloning adventures as I'm maybe going all over the place.
Hella sure. Exciting.
This is fun, yeah. Can't wait to see what's in store. Yeah.
Who knows what tomorrow will bring.
Where can we find you on the social medias?
Dan from the Web on Twitter, Dan from the Internet on Instagram, Dan from the Intern.net, my website, which is great. I love my URL. I defend it with pride and honor. That's going to be changing a lot. Literally... Dan Fear, I'm going hard on that. Like, if you thought I was asleep this year, no, I'm going so hard. Just, you don't even know. Like, Sean, you don't even know Sean. You even know what's going to happen.
I'm waiting.
Guns blazing. It's going to be great. Excited. Definitely check out what comes from that a little bit on Instagram. I'm also a little bit more active with Instagram stories, trying to, like, do little news stuff. Getting good responses from it. It's interesting content, but... All right, ready? We are good. Thank you so much for listening.
You make this show
fun. You make the show possible. You make the show worthwhile. Yeah. And as we grow, please keep contributing. Please, like, this is our show. This is our experience. Let us know if you want to review with us. Like, totally.
Right.
Let us know something we should review. Interact. Just let's make it happen. So without further ado, I'm going to not talk for a while because, God, my voice.
We need to. All right, cheers, guys.
Bye.